Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be concluding this study with the fall of Jerusalem, as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 14. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Zedekiah, under his reign, the priesthood became corrupted. The chief of the priest and the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen. They polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, who rose up early in sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. God loved these people. He loved the temple, the dwelling place there. And thus God sent his messengers. Twice Jeremiah speaks about his rising up early to bring them the message of God. Ezekiel was prophesying to them, as were others of the minor prophets, Amos and some of the others who were warning them of the impending judgments that were coming. God continued to deal with them because God loved them. I have loved thee, the Lord said, with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. But they would not come. They would hear nothing of it. They mocked the messengers of God, and they despised his words. How many times today, when you share Christ with people, will they mock? They despise the word of God. Especially if you say, look, you know, what you're doing is wrong. The scriptures speak against this kind of thing. And they despise the word of God. They don't want to hear it. They misused the prophets. They abused the prophets, actually. They threw Jeremiah in prison. They gave him such a bad time that Jeremiah finally came to the place. He said, that's it. I've had it. Lord, I'm not going to speak in your name again. They're not listening. They just abuse me. They mistreat me because I'm speaking in your name. And I'm just tired of all of the abuse that I'm getting. And I'm through. I'm not going to speak anymore in your name. That's it. But Jeremiah said, but the word of God was like a fire in my bones. And it was just consuming me. And I had to speak. And so he got into further trouble. But they continued in their path downward until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Proverbs 29:1, he being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. They came to the place of no return. They had gone too far. They came to the place where God said, that's it. In Genesis, the time of Noah, we read that God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. Now let me say that it is a blessing that God's spirit does strive with man. How I thank God the way his spirit strives with man. And I'm amazed with what patience and long-suffering the spirit strives with men. There are people that I have given up on long before God gave up on them. And God's spirit continued to strive with them long after I wrote them off. And I've seen them come to Jesus Christ when I thought, there's no way. God's surely given them over to their reprobate minds and ways, but yet God saved them. Oh, the patience and the long-suffering of God. that he strives with men, but there is a warning. He won't always strive. There can come a time in your life where God says, all right, that's it. There's no remedy. There's a time when God gives up on a man. And Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 1 says, therefore, God gave them up. God said, listen, all right, that's it. God gave them up. To Jeremiah at this period of time, God said to Jeremiah, I don't want you to pray anymore for their good. For if you pray, I will not listen. A person can go so far that God says, look, don't even pray for them anymore. How tragic when God's Spirit ceases to strive with a man. When God says, no remedy. When a man crosses that line where God says, that's all. In John 12:38, I believe it is, speaking of the Pharisees, it says, therefore, they could not believe. It wasn't they would not anymore. They had gone beyond that. They came to the place where they could not believe. If you can just look at the cross of Jesus Christ, if you can just look at the Bible and shrug and say, doesn't touch me, doesn't move me, don't feel a thing, then you're in a dangerous position if God's Spirit isn't striving with you. God said, no remedy. And therefore, God brought the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary. They had, of course, fled to the temple. It was one of the strongest buildings in the city. When they took the temple, they killed the young men with a sword there in the very house of God. He had no compassion upon the young fellows or the young girls. I mean, he didn't care. He slew both the children, boys and girls. Also, the old man or those that were stooped for age, he gave them all into the hand of the king of Babylon. And all of the vessels of the house of God, great and small, all the treasures of the house of the Lord, the treasures of the king and of his princes, all of these he brought to Babylon. It was totally sacked. The city was left desolate and in ruins. It was just shambles. And today you can see those houses that for years were covered with rubble that have been recently excavated. And you can see where he burned the city as you hike down the side of the hill of Ophel there. He burnt the house of God. He broke down the wall of Jerusalem. He burnt all of the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all of the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became slaves to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia, the kingdom of Persia. In order that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept her Sabbath to fulfill this 70 years. An interesting prophecy concerning Zedekiah is that, number one, it was prophesied that his sons would be slain before his eyes. And number two is that he would be carried away as a captive of Babylon, but he would not see Babylon. And people saw sort of a contradiction in the prophecies. You're going to be carried away as a captive to Babylon, and yet he had the promise you won't see Babylon. And the promise you won't see Babylon caused him to feel that he wouldn't be carried away captive. When the Babylonians had surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and it was evident that the city of Jerusalem was going to fall, Zedekiah and some of his men at night escaped out of Jerusalem. Now, according to one story, that shaft or that large cave under the city of Jerusalem, known as Solomon's Quarries, there are some reports that Solomon's quarries, which are under the old city of Jerusalem, which you can go in today, that they continue clear on to the outside of Jerusalem. They go way on out, and that you can follow these caves way on out, and you can actually get outside of Jerusalem. And there are some stories that he escaped through these Solomon quarries and came on out and was fleeing down towards Jericho. Word came to Nebuchadnezzar that Zedekiah had fled, and they sent out the troops after him, and they caught him, and they brought him to Nebuchadnezzar, who killed his sons. The sons of Zedekiah were killed as he watched. He watched them kill his sons, and then, having killed his sons before his eyes, they put his eyes out. And they led him as a captive to Babylon. So the prophecies were fulfilled. He did go as a captive to Babylon, but he didn't see Babylon. His eyes had been gouged out by the Babylonians, and thus he didn't see it. And thus God's word all came together and were fulfilled, though the prophecies did seem to be inconsistent as it finally worked out. They were all literally fulfilled. Jeremiah had predicted that their Babylonian captivity would last for 70 years. It had been 490 years since Joshua led the people into the land. The period of history that they lived within the land was 490 years. During the period of Joshua, the judges, and the kings, God had in the law stated that when they came into the land that God had promised unto Abraham, they were to farm the land for 6 years, but every seventh year they were to give the land rest. They weren't to plant or cultivate the land in the seventh year, but were to give the land a Sabbath or a rest. And God gave the ordinances of how that in the sixth year he would give them enough that they could just take a year off and just eat of the old store and have sufficient that they could let the land rest every 7 years. In the 490 years that they had occupied the land, they had not obeyed the commandment of the Lord. This is one of those commandments that they had ignored, even through the kings, David and all of them, had ignored this commandment of God. They never did give the land its Sabbath rest. So the Lord said through Jeremiah, because you have not given the land its Sabbaths, I will give the land its Sabbaths. And thus you will be captives in Babylon for 70 years until the land has had her Sabbaths. And so the captivity of 70 years in Babylon, 1 year for every seven that they had been in the land, in order that the land lied fallow for 70 years, unplanted, as God gave to the land the Sabbaths that he had ordered. God exacts his requirements. If we won't give it to God, he'll take it one way or another. And so he did. And so the word was fulfilled through the mouth of Jeremiah until the Lord had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept the Sabbath to fulfill the 70 years. Now, between verse 21 and 22, well, actually, it comes in verse 20, I suppose. They were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. So right there, you've got a 70-year span of time. And so now in verse 22, 70 years later, in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that he made a proclamation through all of his kingdom, and he put it in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." And so the decree from Cyrus to go back and to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the last verses of 2 Chronicles are identical to the first verses of Ezra. So Ezra takes up right at this point. In fact, these last three verses or two verses are the first three verses in the book of Ezra. They're divided a little differently in Ezra, but you'll find they are similar. The proclamation of Cyrus for the rebuilding of the temple, and Ezra leading back the first group of people to begin again the occupation of the land that God had promised unto Abraham their father. And so we will move on into Ezra as we continue our study. And now we're moving into this post-exilic period in which they are returning under the commandment of God, and we'll look at some extremely fascinating prophecies, and we will see how that God has kept his word, and we will look at prophecies of what God had promised for the nation of Israel in the future, beyond this period, and how God has kept his promises there. So, some exciting things as we move on into their last two books of history. Ezra and Nehemiah bring us on up to the end of the history of the Jews outside of the Apocrypha, where you get into the Maccabees and all. This is the end of the Old Testament canon of scriptures, and it has to do now with the prophecies of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So for extra credit, read these three prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, because they fit in at this period of history that we'll be covering in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Our Father, again, as we have looked at history, and we see the patterns of a nation that was begun by putting their trust in God, and as the result was strong, a nation that forgot God, a nation that ruled God out of its national life, allowed sickly things until there was no remedy, until it was destroyed. God, we look at our nation. We also began trusting in God, and you made us strong. Lord, we see the same symptoms of the same illness that destroyed Judah as they are afflicting our nation today. And Lord, we realize that unless we accept your cure, there's no other remedy. Our nation, too, shall go into captivity to her enemies. God, help us, we pray, that we, as your people, would humble ourselves and pray and intercede. Lord, at the time of the fall of Judah, you said you looked for a man who would stand in the gap and fill in the hedge, that you would not have to destroy those people, but you found none, and thus judgment was forthcoming. Lord, we realize today that you're looking for men and women who will stand in the hedge, who will fill in the gap, who will intercede, in order, Lord, that you might show your mercy unto this nation. Help us, Lord, to be faithful intercessors as we hold before you the national sickness, Lord, that is threatening our destruction. God, we pray, turn things around for Jesus' sake. Amen.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the Bible in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck Smith begins his study of the Book of Ezra. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith begins his verse-by-verse study through the Book of Ezra. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord teach us His ways, that He might bring us into His place of victory, those things He longs to do for us because He loves us. And thus, as the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the entire earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards Him, may God give us that heart perfect completely towards Him, that He can do for us those things He desires to do. Oh, how I long to be the man God wants me to be, a heart that is perfect towards Him. May God grant that desire in our prayer in Jesus' name.
Study the Bible with Pastor Chuck Smith as he teaches from Genesis through Revelation on a new, digitally remastered audio edition of Pastor Chuck's Bible commentary. That's 323 audio MP3 files of Pastor Chuck teaching through the entire Bible, all on an 8-gig reusable flash drive. Now you can easily listen to Pastor Chuck's Bible commentaries when you insert this key into your computer's USB drive. Then you can transfer all of these audio Bible studies to a smartphone or any listening device to learn and study God's Word on the go. And not only that, you can reuse this flash drive that easily fits onto a key ring for even more mobility at a fraction of the cost. What a great way to study and learn God's Word. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.